So, Suzanne, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Eric, you're back. Hey. I have news for you guys. I have a new boyfriend.
What?
Sorry, Eric.
No.
Oh.
If it helps, he's a virtual boyfriend.
Okay. I guess I'll I'll give you a pass on that.
Okay. Cool.
Tell me about your boyfriend.
Sorry, Eric. Unlike you, has very nice flowing locks of hair.
Oh, I see.
Very thick, very long, like Fabio.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm seeing someone who also has very nice hair.
Oh, really?
Huh, that's strange.
Tell us something else about your boyfriend.
Is he sort of like dirty blonde?
Well, I got something to admit too. I also have a boyfriend, and he is a fantastic writer.
A writer?
Yeah.
Wait, my boyfriend's a writer.
That's a real coincidence, because my boyfriend's also a writer.
Huh. He said he was going to write me a romance novel.
What? He said he was going to write me a horror novel.
What?
This is starting to be too much of a coincidence, you guys.
Wait. Don't tell me. Are you dating Elliot?
Yes. Are you dating Elliot?
I'm dating Elliot.
Suzanne, Eric, we're all dating Elliot.
We can't all be dating Elliot.
Oh, my God. Well, there should be a Facebook group for this. Okay. All right. Anyways, welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
I'm Suzanne.
And today we're going to be talking about Stardew Valley, if you haven't put that together yet.
Stardew Valley is a 2016 farm life simulation role-playing game developed by Concerned Ape. The player character inherits their deceased grandfather's dilapidated farm in the town of Stardew Valley. And it's up to you to fix up your farm and help out the town.
Nice. Yeah. Let's get into it. Able to find a good amount of history?
I was. We'll just jump into the history of the game. As Eric said, the creator of the game is Eric Barone, and he was also Concerned Ape. He is the sole developer of the game between 2012 and 2019, and he actually created all the art, music, and sound for the game by himself.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So another game where one person did all of it.
Yeah, that's for this game in particular, that's a ton of stuff.
There's a ton of stuff.
There's a ton of content in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It took him 4 years until the first public release, which was on February 26, 2016. And it was first released for Windows, so long time ago.
So it was only on Windows?
At that time, it was only on Windows. Now, it was released for PS4 and Xbox in December of that year, but the initial release was for Windows.
Okay.
And interesting enough, Eric was actually a computer science major. And
hey,
he created the game because he was unable to find work out of college and wanted it to look good on his resume.
Okay. That's really cool.
That's a pretty good way to start a career now, without getting any opportunities.
And now he probably doesn't have to find a job because he has this.
It was inspired by a game by Hiroshiro Wada, which was called Harvest Moon. And the Harvest Moon series was one of his favorite games as a child.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm a pretty big fan of the Harvest Moon games. And I definitely got some serious Harvest Moon vibes. A little bit of Rune Factory, too. Did either of you guys play much Harvest Moon growing up?
I've never played it.
Yeah. No.
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
Yeah, it was a farm/date simulator. I remember, like, it didn't have the dungeon, though. Rune Factory actually basically made Harvest Moon, but added a dungeon to it. And then I feel like Stardew Valley was kind of inspired probably by both of those games.
Sounds like it.
When I was a kid, like this was before I even knew what Harvest Moon was, I had another kid's mom come up to me at a video game store. She was like, I have two games I'm thinking about getting my kid for Christmas. Can you tell me which one I should get? And the two games were Harvest Moon was one of them, and then Extreme G for the N64.
What's that, like a racing game or something?
So I didn't really know anything about Harvest Moon, but I had Extreme G on my wish list. So I was like, Extreme G, of course, get him that. He's going to love it. When I got Extreme G, I remember playing it and being like super disappointed. It was not like a good game at all. And then I just think back to that. I'm like, I probably would have liked Harvest Moon a lot because I actually played Harvest Moon Friends of Mineral Town for the Game Boy Advance later. But I think back to that moment all the time, and I feel guilty for recommending Extreme G because Extreme G was not good.
Yeah.
And I think Harvest Moon would have been better.
And,
anyway.
And that kid probably never played video games ever again.
He probably
recommended a bad game.
Curse the child who recommended that game to his mom.
Yeah, I mean, Stardew Valley for me, because I very rarely play games, but Stardew Valley was one that I really was able to get into just because I could play multiplayer with my husband, Lauren. I could play by myself. It's just very, like, low-key and relaxing because I get really nervous when there's people I have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bad guys, I usually just push a bunch of random buttons and then turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes games can definitely get stressful. This is more of a cozy game, the people say.
Yeah, if you ignore the dungeon, it's definitely a cozy game. That dungeon can get really tough, though.
I don't know. Even the dungeon really isn't that hard.
There's
at
some
least
parts.
Not that one.
Yeah.
That, like, skull dungeon one is kind of hard.
What about the desert dungeon?
That's Ooh. What I'm talking about. Is that not the skull?
Well, there's also
the skull on the door.
There's also that little mini dungeon by, like, the quarry.
Yeah.
Where you get the...
Yeah, that one's kind of hard, too.
The upgraded scythe.
Mm.
Is there a bottom to the desert dungeon? Because I've gotten to the bottom of the little, like, the mini quarry one, but I've never gotten to the bottom of the desert caves or whatever.
I can verify this later, but I think so. Mm. I think there is a bottom to it.
Yeah, I've only gotten to the bottom of the mining caves so far. So I got a lot more fighting to do, I guess.
Well, since I primarily play on the Switch, of course there was a lot of different platforms that Stardew Valley is out on, but it did come available for the Switch on October 5th, 2017, and that's kind of where I have ended my research on the game. I know they have it for Android and iOS now also. I don't know if it's the full game or if they've pared it down into like an app version for those platforms. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's the full game.
There is a mobile version for sure.
I'm pretty sure it's the full game because I saw an update recently where like the latest update patch to the game caused the Android version to crash.
Yeah.
And you had to go back and like redevelop the patch or make some tweaks or changes to the patch.
Yeah, I saw an article about that today. And I know that he's not really the primary developer on it anymore, I don't think. I think he's got like a small team that's working on future updates.
Oh, really?
Because he has added a little bit to his team. The last time he was working on it on his own was 2019.
Okay.
So there's a small group working on it now, but he did come up and kind of say, you know, I'm sorry about the bugs in it. And he is going to try not to release such big updates in the future. I guess this update for the Android was a really large update, and that's why it had so many little bugs in it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's crazy that it came out, what did you say, 2016, 2017?
Yeah, 2016.
And then they still are doing updates and still adding stuff to it. Even that newest thing just happened, what, like a month ago or something? The newest update?
Yeah, it's...
They add stuff to it, like new tasks for you to do and stuff. So
yeah, it's amazing how much content they've added over the lifetime of this game, because it seems like every time I pick it up there's a whole bunch of new stuff in the game.
Yeah, so it's like, even though it's kind of an old game, it's also still a new game too, because they just keep updating it. So it sounds like there's always new stuff to do.
I mean, for a single developer, the game is just, it's kind of huge, you know, all the little Easter eggs and all the side quests and everything that he was able to put together as he was trying to learn how to program. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
Do you have any fun facts?
So, fun facts. The game was originally called Sprout Valley.
Sprout Valley.
But they changed the name. Okay. It doesn't flow off the tongue. It doesn't sound great, I guess. So
it doesn't sound as charming. You know, charming. Stardew Valley sounds like a little cute town. Sprout Valley, it's like, okay, you got a farm.
Sprout Valley is garbage.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you got a farm. It's like, that's it, you know?
And another fact is the cat in the game, his default name is Miso, because that's Eric's cat's name.
Aww. That's a cute name for a kitty. Miso.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I named my cat Dr. Doom. After my real life cat.
I was really creative when I named my cat Kitten.
Did you name your cat in the game Kitten also?
I think I did, yeah.
And then it's cute when it comes up at the bottom. It's like, Kitten loves you. And you're like, oh my God, this is as close as I'm going to get to Dr. Doom telling me he loves me.
Always waiting on your bed when you get home from your quests.
Yeah. I like that you can pick to have an animal. But anyways, we're not getting to the pros yet. Nice. Any more fun facts?
Well, this kind of has to do with a strategy part of the game, so it's probably a little bit early, but you do actually get a perk for playing as a female character in the beginning of the game.
What?
So if you play as a female character after you've accumulated 5,000 gold, you'll get a letter in the mail from your parents, and the letter will contain a 500 gold.
Nice.
If you play as a male character, you get a cookie.
I love it. Finally. Ooh. Women are ahead. We're breaking that glass ceiling. We're doing all the things. I found a fun fact when I was looking some stuff up, if you don't mind me sharing a fun fact. But recently, a player hit 1,500 hours in the game.
Oh my God.
And you want to know what they got for that? An auto petter. So it will automatically pet all of your animals every day, so you don't have to walk around and pet all your chickens and everything individually.
There's another way to get the auto petter. I was going to talk about that.
I saw that there was other ways, but it was like 1,500 hours, and that's all you get? You should get like a giant trophy or something. I don't know.
Something about an auto petter just sounds so ridiculous.
I know. Sounds like, well, how do you have animals if you need an auto petter? Half the fun of having a pet is so you can pet it. Duh.
I ain't got time to pet my animals.
But it does take a while. Like, I have like 4 chickens and 3 ducks and a rabbit and all the stuff. If you try to go around and pet them all, you're like.
Then you have cows and goats and pigs and sheep.
It takes a while. So I get it.
Yeah. Gotta get that auto petter. I found a fun fact as well.
What?
Yeah.
Look just at one, us. Though. Teamwork.
So the creator of Stardew Valley wants to have a crossover with Fortnite.
Of course.
Where Pam is added to the game.
I would love that. That would be great. I've never played a Fortnite, but they're always doing funny crossovers.
I think he wants it just because of the meme worthiness of it.
Yeah.
Do you have any other fun facts, Suzanne?
No. I found that when I was trying to find fun facts, a lot of them just had to do with gameplay and like how to get achievements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like those weren't really fun facts. Those are more strategy.
Yeah, or like Easter eggs and stuff. Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about the story. Even though it's like not really linear, like the story is mostly like your relationship with each of the characters. And as you improve your relationship, you get like little story segments. Mm-hmm. But there is kind of like an overall story, and it's really like depends on what you do with the community center. You basically have a choice whether you want to develop the community center or to go to Jojo Mart and sign up for a membership and allow him to repurpose the community center as a warehouse. Which route did you guys go?
Community center. We have enough capitalism already in our lives.
Exactly. I did the community center because those little things are very cute. Those little guys in the community center.
Yeah, the little like sprites or...
Yeah, I don't know what they are. Little blobs, whatever.
Sprites might not be the right word.
I mean, just for like the heck of it, has either of you ever played in Jojo Mart's favor?
Yeah, so like the first playthrough, obviously, I did the community center because that... Sounds a lot better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this most recent playthrough, I'm doing Jojo Mart, where we tore down the community center, and now it's a warehouse.
A big warehouse.
So how that works is like instead of completing the bundles and getting the unlocks that way. You just give Morris, the guy at Jojo Mart, you just give him money, and then he goes out and he does it with the team. So like when you want to go to the desert, you just give him a certain amount of money and then he'll go fix the bus for you.
So everything's about money.
Yeah. So instead of like doing the cool, fun scavenger hunt, you just give him money and he does it.
So man, that sounds way more boring. Like if you never played the community center one and you only played this version, you're kind of missing out.
Yeah. So if you go the community center route, did you guys finish it?
Yes.
I still am working on like the bulletin board one. I still need some apples and a pomegranate.
Okay.
That's all I need. And then I'll have the whole community center finished.
So once you finish the community center, Jojo Mart actually goes out of business.
What?
Yeah.
I never go there anyways. They're always too expensive and Morris is kind of creepy.
I'm trying to remember. Did they repurpose it as a theater?
Yeah, there's an extra bundle associated with the Jojo Mart once it kind of gets torn down or it becomes dilapidated, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then once you finish that bundle, it becomes a movie theater.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Man.
Or if you go the Jojo Mart route, you can get rewarded handsomely with a soda machine.
That's it?
Oh.
And the opportunity to buy the auto petter. I don't think you can get the auto petter if you don't go the Jojo Mart route. And that makes sense.
Well, you can. Well,
if you put that many hours
in. It's probably a lot easier if you did the Jojo. Because then it's just $50,000, I think, to get the auto petter.
Yeah. And then either route will give you the ability to unlock and repair Willie's boat and get to the island.
Which I have done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I read about it, and I was like, there's an island?
I haven't passed the island yet, but I've been there.
You haven't passed it?
I haven't, like, completed it.
Okay, yeah. So how much have you unlocked of the island?
Maybe, like, 50% of the island.
Okay. Have you unlocked, like, the farm, the house on the island?
Not on the island, okay. No.
Have you, like, done the dungeon and stuff?
I've gotten there and I've gotten the dungeon unlocked and I've gone through a few levels in the dungeon, but I haven't completed the dungeon yet.
Okay. There's a cool forge at the end of the dungeon where you can like make new items and stuff.
Spoilers? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm really bad about starting the game over again.
Oh, like, really?
Once I kind of complete my farm and I get through the first couple years, like the other side quests, you can keep building on the game, but I'm really bad at that point of starting like my little character over again.
So, hey, no worries.
So how many hours would you say that you've put into the game?
I have two accounts, two different players, and one is like 70 hours and then the other one's about 80 hours.
Okay,
cool.
I'm about 90 hours on my one. I only have one character.
I haven't looked and seen what it was, but I'm easily over 100 hours on one of mine. Yeah,
I guess I'm not that far off from getting the island and stuff then.
No, probably not.
Yeah, you have to do some stuff to fix up Willie's boat.
Okay,
once it becomes available, but it's not not that hard. So we want to move into the pros and cons?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Suzanne, what's something that you liked about Stardew Valley?
I think for me, I really like kind of the collection aspect of it and the design aspect where you can kind of build your own farm. That's kind of the sort of stuff I like to do. Like I said, I did do some of the combat. I had to go in the dungeons for certain resources because you are kind of blocked from finishing things without certain resources from there, but makes me really nervous, so I like to stay on the surface.
Did you go in with Lauren at all?
One account was kind of where we played together, and then one I played on my own. So with Lauren, he would kind of go off and do the dungeon battling, and I would just like do the homemaker stuff. I guess I would harvest
traditional
the crops,
roles, yeah,
pet the animals and that kind of thing. Just because, like I said, baddies make me really nervous. Kind of a baby.
What about you, Nikki?
So I think the art style of this game is really cool. It's like 8-bit art style, but it's not like old looking. I don't know. It's 8-bit art style, but you can still tell what everything is. It's like designed really well.
Yeah, it really reminds me of like an SNES game.
Yeah.
That era. But yeah. It's like, it obviously wouldn't be able to run on the SNES.
No, God, no.
Just graphically. There's too much going on. But yeah, I love the art style as well. I love how much depth there is in this game. So like, even after you finish the community center, which we talked about, like there's still those extra bits you can go and do that, all that island stuff. And there's just so much content in this game.
Yeah.
It really, like, it feels like it doesn't run out before you just like are hundreds of hours into it.
I mean, if that one person can play 1500 hours of this game, there's got to be more to it than just farming, because you're not going to do that, like, only that, I hope, for 1,500 hours.
Man, you get your farm up automated, really cool. I bet you could really, like, with 1,500 hours, you could get your farm pretty tight.
Looking really, really cool.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of aspects of the game that are just solely by chance, so that every playthrough could be different. For example, you know, you might have an alien come to your farm.
What?
There could be a witch that visits your farm. There's a crop fairy that could come to your farm, and like, they come in the middle of the night and they can leave, but they're completely by chance. There's nothing that you can really do to trigger some of these events. They just may or may not happen. So that can make each playthrough a little different too.
Yeah, that's I didn't know about that. So that's a good incentive to try to start a new character instead of just putting 15 hours into one character.
Yeah.
And which then, is what I assume, but maybe that person didn't put 1500 hours into one story. Maybe they have like five different stories going.
Yeah. I mean,
that would probably make more sense.
Yeah. And then you can have like, I think there are 7 or 8 different farms you can pick from, like starting farms, just the layouts and stuff. All different.
And I didn't know about that when I was starting my story up. I didn't know you could pick what kind of farm you had. And Eric's farm has all these waterfalls on it and everything. And I'm like really jealous.
I've picked the same farm on both my playthroughs. So I would be curious. Mine does not have waterfalls. Mm-hmm. So I'd be curious to see a different farm layout.
Yeah.
You can customize a lot in this game. It's crazy. What's something else you like, Suzanne?
One of the main things I like about it is just that it's kind of a relaxing game. I can sit there and play it. And when I hear the little theme song, whatever, it's kind of nostalgic, which is weird because I haven't been playing that game that long, but each playthrough, like the way I kind of recall it, I think it had like a big influence during the pandemic when we're all locked inside and there wasn't really a lot to do, and I'm not a big video game person, so I could just kind of sit down and spend some time doing that when we weren't allowed to go to work and everything, and it just was relaxing. Because that wasn't a very relaxing time.
Yeah. It's a good kind of game to just escape life, what's going on right now in the real world, and do your cute little farming stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's also just a great time waster.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, how many tens of hours have we wasted? I wouldn't say wasted, because it is fun, but...
Exactly. It's not wasted, but it's very addictive. Like, it's hard... You're like, okay, just one more day.
Yeah.
Just let me finish this one bundle, you know, like, just let me do this one thing. And it's like, next thing you know, you've been playing for 4 hours and it's been 3 months or something.
Yeah, I know, right? It's a good way to travel to the future.
Yeah, for real.
I'll kind of just like skip whole days. Like, I'll get up and I'll harvest what's there and I'll pet my animals and then I'll just go back to bed. Because I'm trying to make it through a specific season or like to a specific event or whatever, which is kind of a waste of game time, I guess. But
I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't
matter.
Yeah, exactly. You can play for as many years as you want. It's not like you have a timeline.
And the thing that is really cool about this game is you can really play it however you want. Like, if you want to really get into the farming stuff, you can do that. If you want to really get into all the relationship stuff, you can do that. Like, if you want to do the dungeon, if you want to do it all, but like, you don't have to do it all. If there's certain things that you like to do more than others, then just play the game like that, you know? Like, there's no video game police out there saying that this is how you have to play the game. And I feel like this is a really good one. Like, it fits a lot of different gaming personalities, you know? So if you are more type A and you want to complete all the things, you can. But if you're not like that and you just want to chill and relax and not take it that seriously, like, you can still do that too, you know?
Yeah, the sandbox nature of the game allows you to kind of like set your own objectives and to make it what you want and do what you want. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, maybe your objective is just to make your house as nice as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys add a cellar to your house?
Not yet.
Did you add a guest house on your farm?
I did get that.
Yeah, both. Well, actually, I didn't add the guest house because I haven't had anyone who wanted to play co-op with me.
We played co-op a couple of times, but it was on my account. We didn't do it on your account yet.
Yep.
So I didn't get to see your full farm in real life.
My sweet
on the
farm.
Video game.
Where I'm totally not married to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. I think we kind of talked a little bit about this, but the music is fantastic. Like, I love it. Like, not just the title screen music, but each season the music will change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you also have your town music, your dungeon music, stuff like that. And it just all fits so well. And it all sounds really good.
It's pretty cool that, you know, Eric Verone, whatever, made his own music for the whole game, too, just on his own. That's just really neat to me.
Yeah.
And that he did all, you know, all the art and everything by himself. It's just crazy.
It's crazy how talented some people are.
Not just talented, but in order to do all that, you have to be really driven too, because that is not a small task. Mm-hmm. It's something you have to like stick with and do over and over again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You guys have anything else?
So we kind of mentioned it a little, but I don't think we just straight up said it, but I do think it's cool that you can play co-op mode. So, like, you can play with your partner, or you can get online and play with people. You can't do cross-platform play yet, I don't think.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I don't know. It was kind of cool that me and Eric could just, like, play on each other's games if we wanted.
It was great, except for the fact that you can't play Journey of the Prairie King co-op.
Yeah, we were like, let's try to play it together, and that
really bummed me out, because that game is freaking hard, and I'm like, oh, we could just play co-op and do this together, and it'd be a lot easier, and then no.
Because you do get to play with Abigail, is it?
Yeah.
At one point, so you know there is like a two-player version out there.
I know if you're playing on PC, I think you can download a mod to let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But us lowly Switch players are kind of stuck just playing at one player.
That game is hard.
Yeah.
It is cool that they have the little arcade games in the arcade. That it's kind of like a little mini game.
Yeah, both
so
of those.
That's a pro.
Both those games are nuts.
Yeah.
As far as difficulty goes.
And then I have a couple more things, because we were just talking about the mods. I think if you're playing it on the PC, it sounds like there's a lot of different mods you can add to the game, which I'm sure makes it really interesting to do multiple playthroughs with different mods and stuff. Some of them, I think, from what I read, there's like one that will make you walk really fast all the time. And I'm like, yes. There's some that'll make fishing really, really easy. And just like some that'll give you unlimited money, whatever. I'm sure there's some creative mods out there.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Like, mods can definitely, they can be great, but they can also have an adverse effect on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can make it, like, not as fun or interesting. Like, yeah, for example, if you do put, like, a mod on there to give yourself unlimited funds, it might make the game not interesting anymore.
But imagine if you're putting a bunch of mods on it, this is probably not your first playthrough.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably, like, your fifth, sixth playthrough, and you're like, let's spice it up.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't like it, you can always stop playing it and try a different mod, I guess. And then one more thing is the game is really affordable. It's like $15 for the Switch. I don't know how much it is on Steam or whatever.
That's a steal for this game.
For how many hours you can play this game, I mean, value. You are getting value. A lot of bang for your buck, for sure. Yeah, overall, I really like this game. I'm glad you guys picked it.
Yeah, me too. It's a great game. So moving on to cons, what's something you didn't like about the game, Suzanne?
I would say I kind of just get a little bit burnt out on it after a while. So the main storyline is about three game years. So once I complete that, I don't know, like that drive, that main storyline is kind of a big driver. And then after that, there is a lot of content that you can do, but I don't know, after the main storyline, that's when I typically am starting my new character, because something kind of fizzles out after you complete those main objectives for
me. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'd never finished the island on my playthrough either, because the island just is it's a lot, and it's about finding these golden walnuts.
Okay.
And there's a lot of golden walnuts to find on this island.
So it gets pretty tedious.
Yeah.
A little tedious, a little repetitive.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of the nature of the game a little bit. It's a little bit repetitive.
Yeah.
And I agree. It does. You can definitely get burned out on it. You can get tired of it. I heard it described as like a chore game.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of just doing chores.
Yeah.
So if that's not something that really interests you, I can completely understand. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. Once you're done with like the main object collection portion of the game, like once I complete the community center, especially on your initial playthrough, cause you're like, oh, where am I going to find all this stuff? And every time you go there, you know, it's kind of rewarding. You fill in your little boxes at the community center. And then after that, it's like, here's the boxes you have to do now. And it just kind of, I don't know, after that, I'm just kind of, I would say that.
Not as interesting.
Kind of fizzles out.
Yeah. I can see that for sure. It definitely starts to get repetitive, which like some repetitiveness is nice because that's what makes it so kind of like meditative or whatever when you're playing it.
Yeah.
But then if it's too much, you're like, okay, this is really boring. Something that I don't like is that I kind of had to look a bunch of stuff up for this game, which I kind of is fine for a little bit, but I feel like some stuff that should have been pretty easy, I had to Google it because I'm like, well, how do you get truffles? They don't really tell you how to get truffles. I mean, I guess you can figure it out, but I don't know. I just had to look up a lot of stuff. So I feel like maybe they could have, I don't know, had somewhere in the game where I could have
figured it out.
I know there's the books in the library, and if you kind of read those, it helps you with some stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm being nitpicky here, though, because, like, overall, it is a really good game.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff that you'll figure out later after you've done a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, I could have just done this and saved a whole bunch of time, or I could have just done this and gotten this item that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those, like, yeah, you figure stuff out later, like, what you could have done better.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a Stardew Valley subreddit, I think, which was very helpful because almost any question I had, someone had already asked it in the Reddit thing. So it was really nice to just be like, go through the answers. They were already there.
Yeah. One of my cons was just your character speed. Your character is so slow.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's painful, man. Like, especially like if you make it to town and then realize you forgot something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, I got to walk all the way back to town or back to my house.
Have you guys unlocked the mine car system?
Yeah, that helps a lot. And
that
then,
does help a lot.
The horse helps a lot,
the
too.
The horse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I don't have
and
a
then
horse. Yeah, I need to get a horse.
There was a recent ad where you can actually upgrade your speed from a bookseller.
Yeah, I saw that, but the freaking book was like $15,000 or something. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, then once you get your horse, is it going to be worth it? Yeah, I don't know. But it is cool because when I originally played it, like that bookseller wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So that's all like content that's been added later.
Yeah.
And then my final con is just the limit of only being able to have two children. Because, you know, if you're trying to have kids with every single NPC.
Oh, my God, Eric.
It's like you constantly have to turn your children into doves in order to have more.
Oh, my God, that sounds so sad. Are you like a psycho?
Yeah. Is it like a metaphor, the doves? It is kind of sad.
Yeah.
They turn into devs.
So you're trying to Elon Musk get up in this town. You're trying to have like 8,000 kids by all the liberal ladies.
I hear that there's like a few like horror like Easter eggs if you turn your children into doves.
Oh no.
Yeah, I heard that they'll like try to kill you.
Oh my God.
I can't remember what part of the game you're in, but I think the doves will kind of descend on you.
Jeez.
They'll also like call your phone.
Oh my God, creepy.
Yeah.
Who knew this is a horror game also?
Just something to think about when you're trying to have as many children as you can.
Did you have any more cons, Suzanne?
I would say that's it. In all the two playthroughs that I've done, I still haven't unlocked every area on the island.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a mysterious part over by the Hat Shack where there's a little bridge that's missing and I haven't completed that yet.
Oh, yeah, I don't have it either.
I thought that was just for the event, for the for that one dance.
Is it? Maybe that's...
Oh, so maybe they don't use that. About it. Okay.
Yeah, I think just... it's only specifically an area used for the dance.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a hidden area I hadn't got to yet.
Oh, I have a question. Do you ever get to go... You know where the sewer ends? Or the sewer comes out at? And then you can see all that trash down below? Do you ever get to go below?
Yeah, you get to go in the sewer.
No, mean, but or? Once you come out of the sewer that has the grate... There's like, you can look down and there's like a beach with a bunch of trash. Do you ever get to go down there?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I haven't gotten there.
Cool. I wasn't sure. It kind of looked like you might be able to eventually go down, but I wasn't sure.
Maybe they're kind of saving some areas for future content.
Yeah, maybe. So I have a couple things, or just really, yeah, just a couple small things. The fishing, some of the fishing is really hard.
Yes.
Like if you're trying to catch the freaking, what is it, scorpion cod or whatever in the desert, whatever it's called, that one fish. Dude, the fish bar is like so sporadic. It's like, there's no way that you can catch this fish. I don't know how people do it if they do. Like.
Yeah, I think some of them definitely require some luck for sure. Like it requires like, yeah, it's sporadic, but occasionally you'll find one where it will just like kind of like chill for a bit. But yeah, there's also, I think, the bobbers and stuff that you can add.
I guess.
Specific lures.
Lures, that yeah. That's
kind of the, yeah.
That kind of like will but make still, your bar bigger or like, yeah.
But still, everything else in this game is pretty easy, like video game skills wise. And then you have this fishing and it's like, some of fishing, it's really hard.
It's like within certain hours in certain seasons and in certain weather conditions too, mm-hmm. where you have to find different fish. So I think that's the thing that takes me the longest in the community center is the fish part.
Fishing, yeah, for sure. And then one last thing is like, I never get used to this, but when you give someone a gift that they don't like and they just straight up tell you, wow, that's a stupid gift, or wow, I guess I can put this in the compost, or what am I supposed to do with this? It hurts my feelings. Like, it is so rude. And even though I've been told by several of them many times, it still doesn't get easier. Every time they tell me, I'm like, my feelings are hurt a little bit. Because I really do try to give them gifts I think they'll like, but I'm too lazy to go actually look up the things that they like.
It's literally in your pause menu, like what they like and what they don't like.
I know, but if you do that for every person, like I'm trying to give everybody a gift every day if I can until they tell me, you know, I'm maxed out. Like if you're looking up before you give everyone a gift, you're going to be spending hours doing that. I don't have time for that.
I feel like
you get what I give you. And then if you don't like it, you should just be like, thanks. Not say anything.
But just
rude.
In general, there are characters in the game who are just straight up not approachable.
I know.
They're kind of, you know.
Haley.
They're real hateful.
Looking at you, Haley.
Oh, Haley's fine. Leave Haley alone. It's one of my mini girlfriends.
I finally figured her out. But at first, it was like every single thing I gave her, she was like, this is dumb. I'm like, gosh, you don't like anything.
Here's a bonus fun fact. If you date every NPC of like one specific gender, they will confront you. They will confront you and be like, why are you dating all of us? And they'll all be mad at you after that. You can avoid that situation though if you're carrying a rabbit's foot. You'll like get into that exact same scene, and instead of confronting you, they'll be about something completely different.
They still confront you though.
No, they don't confront you. They don't catch on that you're dating all of them.
Wow, all you need is a rabbit's foot.
Also, I should mention that there's no penalty for dating as many people, other than if you're dating all of them, then they will confront you about it.
For such a small town, you think more people would figure out if you're dating more than one person. And there's only like, what, 15, 20 people in this whole town.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I wanted to see all the different kind of storylines, so I dated everyone in town.
Right. All the guys and the girls?
Yeah.
Nice.
Some of the players have kind of sad backstories.
I know. Shane, what's up with him?
No.
He's been through some stuff.
He's a redemption arc, though. He comes out of it if you're dating him.
And then what's that one dude, Kent? Wasn't he like in jail or something? Prison?
Kent?
Kent, the new, he's like
the army guy. Yeah, the guy in the army, yeah.
All right. You want to move on to strategy?
Sure.
So much strategy.
Adding on to something you said, once you figure out a gift an NPC likes, you can just give them the same gift over and over. They don't care. They don't need
yeah,
something different.
Yeah, if they want to be boring.
I'm just saying, like, if you find out someone likes pumpkins, just keep giving them a pumpkin.
Every day, nothing else.
They don't get tired of it.
But I get tired of it. I don't like giving people the same gifts all the time. That's boring to me.
I don't know. If I felt like if somebody was coming up to me and giving me gifts every day, I would feel a little bit weirded out by it. I'm glad that your little girlfriends are comfortable with that, but, you know.
Especially if it was the same thing every day. Oh, here's a blueberry. Here's a blueberry. Here's a blueberry.
Some of them have kind of bougie taste too. I think, is it Emily that likes emeralds?
Probably.
Yeah, I think she likes all the jewels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it goes back to Harvest Moon. This is how you dated in Harvest Moon. You just found out the thing the girl NPC liked, and then you gave them that, like, every day.
Wow.
Until they were in love with you, and then you had a family.
No creativity.
So did you have anything for strategy, Suzanne?
So I guess one I had already mentioned, you know, you do get a benefit straight off at choosing a female character. I don't know if it matters later on in the game, because that's kind of an initial, you know, in your first 5,000 gold. But another thing that is a strategy is in front of Linus's tent, I think in your first day of gameplay, you can mine ancient seeds.
What?
For ancient fruit.
And like mine, like, or
yeah,
dig
we'll
them up?
Dig them up.
Okay.
And if you plant them at a specific block above his tent, you can have an ancient fruit plant.
What?
Immediately in the game. So I learned about that.
So your next playthrough, don't forget, first day.
Yes.
Okay. You gotta do that.
So is it only the first day you can do that, or can you do that anytime?
I'm not sure if it's just like the first season or not. I did try to do it today, and like I said, I'm a ways into the game now, and it was not available.
Wasn't there.
Oh,
dang.
Huh. That's crazy.
I'm gonna have to like do another playthrough at some point. Something I have is, like, talk to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
I actually got a new achievement today. It was called, like, networking or something like that, because I was just, like, talking to everybody I passed by. And I think that just helps everyone like you more, and then they'll probably send you more stuff in the mail and all that.
It probably gives you clues to, like, you know, different side quests and stuff in the game, too, that you might not pick up on.
And, like, some of their backstory stuff, like we were talking about.
Yeah. So my piece of advice is to become a hoarder. So you never know when you might need a specific item. So just store everything in color coordinated chests. That way you have everything.
Yeah.
Like, crops don't go bad. Like, nothing goes bad. Nothing spoils.
That's true.
So just have everything available and just hoard.
Yeah. And if you're organized, that does help a lot. Because you start to get so many items. It's like, it's a lot. So if you can kind of be like, okay, here's all my seeds. Here's all my materials in this one, or like, here's all my food.
Yeah, I have like chests by season crops.
Oh,
I have
okay.
I had jewels in one. I had like basic, like wood and stone and like those basic items in another one.
Wow,
and
you're fish, very organized.
Fish in one. Yeah, just.
Fish? Yeah, I saw all the fish.
Yeah. And you can color coordinate the chest, so you can like, okay, the fish are going to be the blue chest. That way you can like.
Yeah,
immediately
that does
know
help.
Which chest they're in.
That does help. Can you imagine having 10 chests and they're all brown? Like, oh crap. You just have to look through them all every single time.
Yeah.
Another kind of strategy, and this isn't really a strategy, I guess, but just kind of something that you can do. If you shake your maple trees, as long as there's not a tap on it, you can get hazelnuts.
What?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
Like the forage item during spring or no, fall? Or summer. I forget which month.
Hazelnut. I think it's fall, right?
Because it is a forageable, but you can get it from the maple trees. So
that's cool.
Kind of funny.
Is it
you
only that month them. that's forageable?
That I'm not sure, because that was just something that I found, you know, looking up stuff to talk about on the today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to try it out and see if it's month specific, if it's just fall, or if you can get them throughout the year that way. I'm not sure.
Another thing is to check the calendar, because it'll tell you whose birthday it is that day, if it's anyone's birthday or if there's an event going on. And a lot of times they will send you mail to remind you about the events, but it's kind of hard to keep track. So if you can look at the calendar, I think that is kind of simple, but it kind of helps a lot.
Yeah, and giving an NPC a gift on their birthday, like, gives you a big bonus towards their hearts or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I'd say also craft some sprinklers early. They will save you a bunch of time and energy watering, because otherwise watering takes forever saps your energy.
Yeah, you'll like wake up, and then by the time you end up done watering everything, it'll already be like 1 p.m. in the day.
Yeah, and your energy will be like almost gone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not going to the mine today.
I like to craft a lot of stairs when I go to the mines, because Ooh. If I get into a mine and there's a bunch of, what are those green flying dragon things?
Do they have names? In the desert.
In the desert.
Yeah.
And they start coming at you every which way. I'm just down a level, because otherwise I'm dead.
That's smart.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because I haven't been using those stairs, because the mining dungeon thing is not that hard. But yeah, the desert one is hard, so.
It is.
And I have a craft to make the stairs, so I definitely need to do that. That's kind of like a fun cheat. It's like, I don't have to fight all these things, but I can still go down.
All right, anything else?
Just some stuff we said earlier, like for fishing, if you level up your fishing pole and get lures and hooks and stuff, that will make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Drinking coffee, espresso, energy drinks, anything like that will make you walk a lot faster, which is really awesome. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had like for the strategy.
Cool.
But pretty much just play the game however you want. You don't need strategy for this game.
That's true. It's,
you know,
it's a sandbox game.
Yeah.
You can explore, do what you want.
Exactly.
One thing I would do is just every, what is it, Wednesday and Friday, to go visit the peddler, because the peddler will have different items that you may not have been able to find yet, or like, you know, different fish and seafood, or different resources that are maybe difficult to get, and mm-hmm. you can just purchase them.
Oh, so that's on Wednesday and Friday?
I think it's Wednesday and Friday.
I was wondering, like,
okay.
It seemed like he had a schedule, but I didn't look it up or
figure it out. Yeah, I didn't know the schedule either. But he's the guy over by the lake that has, like, his cart being pulled by pigs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, like, so sad, because I, you know, walked up to him, and I was like, he had apples. And I was like, yes, and I bought an apple. And then I went to the community center, and I didn't realize you needed 3 apples for the sake. And then by the time I went back, he was already gone, and then he hasn't had apples since. And so now I'm gonna have to wait like 2 seasons for the apples and stuff. But
that's pretty funny.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think I don't think you could have bought more than 1 apple from him. I think he only sells 1 of each of his items.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, no, I don't feel so bad. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, so moving on to the future. What is happening? Is Netflix making a movie?
Oh, my God.
Well, there is going to be a cookbook.
What? That's cool.
Stardew Valley cookbook.
Wow, so it's like every recipe in the game, but like an actual recipe and not like just the fake recipe?
I guess so. I don't think it's out just yet. And then, of course, you know, the Haunted Chocolatier.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about.
Oh, is
about.
That that's a separate game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the next game he's working on.
Nice.
Maybe the same universe.
That's what the fans want, is it to be in like the same world.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be cool. That sounds like a cool game. Like Haunted Chocolatier. It's like,
yeah.
Ooh, spooky, but not really.
So I think that's supposed to be sometime in 2026.
Nice.
So it's going to be a little while. I think it got delayed further because of issues with the recent patch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun when that comes out.
Cool.
All right. So I bet you're wondering how we did with your challenge.
I am wondering that. How did you do?
Journey of the Prairie
King.
Wait,
first of all, I want to know if you ever beat that game.
I don't think that I've ever actually been able to even injure a bad guy on the first level.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't figure out how to aim my little gun, so mm-hmm. No, I have not.
Okay.
There are a couple ways you can fire the weapon. You can fire it with the buttons, or you can use the right joystick, which actually is how I prefer, because it's easier to shoot sideways that way.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier if you use the left or right joystick.
Yeah, and then you don't have to push any button. You can just hold the joystick in the direction you want
and
to
then,
shoot.
And then, yeah, the bullets just pretty much go constantly if you do it that way. Yeah. It's still hard, though.
So I got as far as the level 2 boss. I did not get to level 3. I think level 3 is the final level.
I didn't even make it to level 2.
Yeah, did you get to the level 1 boss?
No. I kept dying.
Yeah, it's a hard game.
I tried a bunch, but I didn't want to spend too much time on it because I wanted to go do all the other stuff. And it's like not that long of a game, but it is like pretty hard.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's definitely challenging.
It's really easy to die in that little mini game.
All right, so I guess we're going to wrap. Suzanne, do you want to wrap with us?
Sure.
Want to, or are we going to make her? We're going to make her.
Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Okay. In a valley where the stars shine bright, picking crops, working hard into night, planting seeds, watching them ignite with my hoe in hand. Ready to fight. Fishing by the river, catching trout, got my pals around, never feeling doubt. Building my farm, there's no time to pout, with the harvest moon, hear the villagers shout.
Living west of the river, Penny's hot caregiver, my looks make you quiver, my kiss make you shiver, like Amazon I deliver, a taker and a giver, I'll make you a believer, just don't check my liver, more drink, just a sliver, I don't look in the mirror, things never get clearer, just give me another beerer.
Starting up a store, what's it for? Just a turf war to solve an old score and restore Georgia core d'amour. Took the floor for the corporate decor. Says you're hardcore, like to save more. 24 days then you're ashore to explore, but you can't be poor. Underscore, you're the Georgia whore we adore. Time to switch, Pierre's a little bitch. If you ditch, then we both get rich. I ain't a snitch, but he might be a witch. I saw his food twitch, not a glitch. Make a pitch for Abercrombie and Fitch. He's the Grinch, we can scratch that itch. We can find that niche, you can hitch. A pinch, would you like a sandwich?
See, that wasn't so bad. Now, was
it? That was great.
You're alive. You lived through it.
I lived. I'm still sweating.
Yeah. Now you can tell all your friends and family that you are a recorded rap artist.
Okay, good.
And so
yeah.
That's a thing.
Live on air.
Yeah. All right. So, Eric, guess what?
What?
It's my turn to pick the next game.
All right. You gave me a hint. You hinted that it was a game we owned.
Yeah, but if you look around at our shelves, and yeah, if you look at our digital catalog, that's a lot of games.
That only narrows it down to hundreds of games.
Yeah. So do you have any guesses out of the hundreds of games that we own?
Can you give me like a hint on like what era?
Well, I'll give you a hint by saying, you know, the next episode will come out right after Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
So is there any games that might make you think of Thanksgiving?
Other than the Titanic, Thanksgiving reminds me of, honestly, like Stardew Valley or something.
Yeah. I guess you are farming, making a lot of food. It is kind of Thanksgiving-y.
I'm thinking like a cooking game, mm-hmm. Maybe Overcooked 1 or...
we've already done Overcooked.
Well, we did Overcooked 2.
Oh.
We could do Overcooked 1.
That's true.
What else?
So when you... think of Thanksgiving, what's the main food that comes to mind?
Turkey.
Okay. So if you had to pick a game based off of that clue.
Turkey.
What do you think you might pick?
What games feature a turkey?
A turkey or a bird as the main
character. Well, we already did Duck Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't turkeys. No. So that would be wrong.
It doesn't have to be a turkey. This is association.
So just any kind of bird.
Any kind of bird. Can you think of a game that maybe you might play as a bird?
Is it Angry Goose?
Untitled Goose Game.
I like That's Angry Goose pick. Better.
Yeah, Angry Goose. He is kind of an angry goose.
Is that not what it's called?
But, it's actually called Untitled Goose Game.
Nice.
But I'm pretty sure if you said I'm playing the Angry Goose Game, people would know what you're
talking
about. People
would know exactly what you're talking about. Have you played this game, Suzanne?
Yeah, kind of.
With Lauren?
Yeah. Nice. Lauren played it.
Okay.
I watched, so.
Yeah. Well, there is a co-op version of the game, so you can play it together as a two-player, which is... brings me to our challenge.
Okay.
On co-op mode, so this is kind of like a challenge for myself as well, we have to earn a secret prize trophy.
Ooh. Does it specify the secret prize?
No, it doesn't. And I don't even know if there actually is a secret prize or if the trophy's just called a secret prize.
Okay.
But we're going to find out,
so is
hopefully.
This is an achievement.
This is an achievement.
Okay.
It's an achievement for the PlayStation, because I don't think the Switch really does, like, trophies and stuff, but I'm pretty sure you can still, like, achieve it, you know, even if you don't get a trophy on Switch.
Well, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome.
All right.
So, till next time. Bye, everybody. Right. Thanks, bye. Suzanne, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And as always, if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And we would love to know your thoughts on Stardew Valley. Have you played the game? How many hours have you put into it? And what do you like about it? All right, bye.